Church here on the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. So glad you're all with us this morning, especially because this is a special worship service this morning. We definitely want to give a great bit of thanks for the special musicians we have this morning. You may maybe have noticed them here in the front. The Johnson Chicks, and I'm guessing an honorary chick here playing the tuba. But some wonderful music already and more to come, I'm sure. You probably noticed on your way in there is a basket for a free will offering to help support our musicians and another way to say thanks to them for coming out this morning. But I'm glad you're all here on this cool October morning to enjoy some good polka music. So, a couple announcements here before we begin. One, you'll notice there's an insert here for the Lutheran Disaster Response for Hurricane Michael. As we know, it's hurricane season down in the more southern parts of our country, so certainly to keep them in mind both in prayer and perhaps if you feel so moved through donations as well. So please keep that information in mind. I'm sure Lutheran Disaster Response is busy this time of year with various things going on in our country and across the world. A couple other announcements this week. Stewardship meeting is this week, or not last week, as we announced last week. It's this week on Monday. Centennial meeting is on Wednesday. Thursday is the council meeting. And on Friday is the funeral for Wilma Hines. So please keep those items Saturday, excuse me. Saturday. I'll be here early at least, so Saturday for the Wilma Hines funeral. Carolyn, did you have something you wanted to mention? Is Carolyn out there somewhere? There she is.
No.
Not? All right, well, we just like to always see Carolyn's smiling face. The dementia friend, oh, she's coming up. She's coming up.
Hello.
Oh, dear.
Hi, everybody. We're having this dementia meeting on Wednesday at 1. And I just wanted to tell everybody my experience with dementia when I was fairly young. Younger than I am now, and my dad got it, and I had no fear of it, and everything went wrong. My dad was kind of crappy to begin with, and we argued a lot. He and I were very unhappy a lot of the time, and later on, Jerry's aunt and uncle got dementia, and we went there to help them out. They have no children, and the doctor gave her this much to read, and she's blind. So I read it to her, and I cried. I read it for 2 days, not that long, because I was crying so hard, that I had done everything wrong. And so I just want to tell you all that you may not think that you have to worry about this, but we'll all have to worry. Our neighbors, our friends, our family, you know, it's a sad thing, and it's better if you really know about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Well, you also see some other announcements, of course, in there. Please keep all of them in mind. Just really quick, of course, our bazaar is coming up, and there's various raffle tickets that can be picked up and dropped off, and picked up in the fellowship hall and dropped off in the office on the secretary's desk. And then, as well, there's work sign-up sheets in the fellowship hall. And our trunk or treat is also coming up. So on Halloween, we'll have a little event here for kids and adults, too. So there'll be some good treats. There'll be some food, hopefully a bonfire, assuming the snow doesn't come rain in on us before then. I did just buy and got delivered from Amazon a 10-pound box of hot cocoa mix, so we will have hot cocoa. So yeah, lots of stuff keeping us busy this fall. Other than that, are there any other announcements at this time? Anything I'm forgetting? All right, well then we'll let our band take us away with our call to worship. Thank you. this first hymn. Most of these songs and hymns will begin with them playing through once. The only exception to that will be the offering song, so just kind of keep that in mind. And again, a warm welcome to all of any guests and visitors that might be with us this morning. I know there's some faces out there that I don't think I'm just unfamiliar. I think there's just some genuinely new people here this morning, so I'm glad that you're with us. And especially a warm welcome to you. And you are welcome. Any fellow Christians are welcome to join us for communion here at Bethesda. All right. Band, thank you again. Source of all life.
We confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen.
God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional. And we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of deliverance,
you saved the people of Israel and chose Joshua to lead your people to the promised land. Choose us and equip us to live with faith and peace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. Our first and main reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter.
Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst. And afterwards, I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over to Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I handed them over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, the towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of the Lord, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of our gospel reflection. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If there is one prayer that is common among Minnesotans on many a fall Sunday morning, I suppose it goes something a bit like this. Dear God, please watch over my family, keep them safe, help them to experience love and to share it. Watch over me as well, O God, through all of my trials. Forgive my sins. Give me strength to serve you as you would have me do. And most of all, gracious Lord, please help the Vikings win this afternoon. I know that's what a lot of you are praying out there when we have that break in the middle of the prayers of intercession. I normally wouldn't off put that in prayer. I think it might be a little bit frivolous, but certainly I think many of us realize that teams in Minnesota need all the divine intervention they can get. But of course, there is this challenge, right? We know that maybe God wouldn't exactly answer those kinds of prayers, maybe not at least top on his list. And of course, then there's the whole fact that the other team is probably praying just as fervently that they would win as well. In Arizona right now, there could be thousands of the faithful imploring God for victory today. And since they are blessed with a bit warmer weather than we are, they probably have a shorter list of things to pray for. So they, you know, can really concentrate their energies on that prayer for their team. Of course, competing prayers doesn't just happen when we come to sports. It also happens in more serious conflicts. Whenever there's violence, it isn't just prayers of peace that fill the minds of the faithful. We also pray for victory. We pray for triumph over good, of good over evil, or at least what we name good and evil at that time. It's easy to forget, and it's probably appropriate that we do forget, or at least are willing to take a hiatus now and then. You know, we have this wonderful music this morning, polka, you know. Even those of us that aren't German, are, you know, it's kind of fun to do, to get this kind of good energy here on a Sunday morning. Not that we aren't normally full of good energy, but it's always having a little fun when you get some wonderful musicians to grace your worship service. But of course, as I said, it might be easy to forget that 60 plus years ago, we probably wouldn't be doing a polka service on a Sunday morning. The Germans were our enemies. Even as there are plenty of German Lutherans out there, my own family included, we might very well have prayed openly and regularly that the Germans be defeated, that the evil that they brought upon the world might be stopped. Of course, now they are much better. They are our allies. They are a wonderful. They do so many wonderful things in our world in terms of service, in terms of leadership in many areas. But this is, of course, the nature of things, isn't it? So often we find ourselves groups of people, faithful groups of people, one against the other, each praying to God that our side might triumph. And maybe there is something in that that can draw us together, that we can think that our mothers 60 years ago were praying just as their mothers were praying 60 years ago, that husbands and sons return home safely, that the horrors of war might be brought to a swift end. Horrors that even perhaps, as much as we know that, you know, the horrors of World War II and of the Nazi regime, we know that we too were not innocent in every single thing that we did. Warfare is messy business. There are not a lot of saints in the midst of it. Our reading this morning in the book of Joshua in general is very much about warfare. We have kind of one of the more pleasant verses out of the whole, or chapters out of the whole mix. And even then, you still see the echoes of war in it. Joshua makes sure to remind the people gathered, right, that They are in a land that was not their land. They are harvesting the fruits of plants that they did not sow. Here is this story of the Israelites having returned after the many years in the wilderness, after their many, many years down in the land of Egypt. And someone else just happens to be where they want to be, where God has in mind for them, the Canaanites. And so there's this brutal, bloody battle, many battles where the Canaanites are slaughtered and seemingly at the behest of God. And I might be tempted to gloss over it. Certainly, it kind of puts a damper on our festivities this morning. But the problem is, we have a Bible study going right now. Two different Bible studies, our men's and our women's weekly Bible studies. And they've been talking the last 2 weeks about Joshua. So I can't even, like, they know what's going on. They know just how complex. We've been just this onslaught of Joshua the last 2 weeks and the horrible things that they did against the Canaanites and just how that just breaks our idea of a loving God, of a forgiving God, of a merciful God. And so I can't really pull off a sort of silver lining kind of a message this morning, at least not right away. The author of that book, though of course we don't certainly have to believe everything an author tells us, he certainly doesn't sugarcoat the story. And certainly presented us with some interesting thoughts to ponder. One of the claims we read this last week that kind of shook us up a little bit was that perhaps, according to the archaeological record, the battles of many of these battles maybe didn't happen, or at least in the way that the Bible recounts it. And that kind of, again, breaks your brain a little bit when you think about it. It makes you wrestle with this idea. We still, even many of us who maybe don't accept 100%, or don't accept that the Bible is completely factual and 100%, we still kind of maybe hold pretty close to like 99%, right? You know, we figure maybe there's some numbers, maybe there's some people whose names got switched around over the centuries. But this isn't really a discrepancy that the author is talking about, like Jesus fed 5,000 instead of 7,000, right? This is maybe the walls of Jericho didn't come a-tumbling down, because there doesn't seem to be piles of stones. And so we wrestle with this. And, well, maybe they just haven't found it yet. Or maybe there was some other city that got renamed. You know, it makes you really... We had some good conversation this week is what I'm saying. We were really feisty conversation. And hopefully my Bible studies will actually come back next week. So we'll find out. There might be a vote in a couple weeks to kick the pastor out. We'll wait and see. You never know. He's making us read all these crazy books. But if instead, you know, if we accept this big if, I know for some folks it's a big if perhaps there may be these areas where we need to think differently, that the Bible might be telling a truth in a way that isn't always beholden to fact. We may accept the fact, too, that human beings, as much as true for us as it may have been for those writing the works of the Bible, may not have always been perfect in every single detail, or may have been focused on other details that we might keep in mind. That's a big if, but it's one that we wrestle with as faithful Christians. And you can imagine, back in the era of ancient Israel, even more so than today, if you live in that culture, we've been talking about it the last few weeks here on Sunday mornings, that this was a world of violence. It was a world of might makes right. You can imagine that God as military leader would make a lot of sense. War is not just as a competition between men, but as a competition between patron gods. That the Canaanites having their gods and the Israelites having their God, their one God, of course, their God would be the one that would triumph not just over the Canaanites, but also their God as well. And I think what also makes it difficult as we wrestle with this, even if we accept differences between the archaeological and historical record and that of the Bible, what makes it so challenging, and I think would have made it challenging for them as well, is that there is a lot of truth in it. Because God is faithful to God's promises. God loves God's people. God is with us even in the midst of our suffering, even in our darkest moments. So why wouldn't God be watching out for us as we face our enemies in battle? I believe that as the truth of God. But Does that mean that God blesses every single act that we do in the midst of battle? That God blesses all the horrors of war? That we might wrestle with. And Christians have been wrestling with it for a long, long time. It's a difficult message to hear that God might not just be with us, but might be with our enemies. That God might not just be with Vikings fans, but also with Cardinals fans. Again, I can see some of you already filling out the complaints to the bishop out there in the audience. And hopefully I can remain as your pastor after this shocking news that God might in fact be with those that go against the Vikings. But we know that God seeks goodness. We know that God pursues justice wherever injustice might be found. That God is not just in the camps of our enemies, but in our own camps, in our own cities, in our own homes. In World War II, the Nazis and Axis powers in general committed evil and brought horrors into our world. There was a lot that we might see God wishing to stop, that God might be active through us and through our forces. But we are not, were not, and are not sinless either. The Canaanites may have sinned in many and various ways, but the people of Israel were far from perfect themselves. That, as much as anything, is the story of the Bible, right? That all the times that as much as they were blessed to be a blessing, there were many times when they were blessed and weren't really a blessing at all. That they didn't share their blessings. That they were fallible, imperfect, just as prone to sin as we are people. And still, through it all, God was faithful to them, always and forever. And so too with us. When we sin, when we cause suffering, we are blessed. When we are blessed to be a blessing, but we try our hardest not to be a blessing to others, when we resist it. When we proclaim that we are on the side of righteousness and justice and are God's own chosen, but only pretty much use that as an excuse, not just to combat evil, but to seek our own selfish goals. And yet through it all, God is with us. God may grieve. God may call us to repentance. God may bring us kicking and screaming to repentance. But with repentance comes forgiveness. I'm not sure Joshua got it exactly right here. Maybe he was just trying really hard to prove the point. What was that? You know, God isn't that forgiving. You know, I don't know about all of that, Joshua, but he certainly maybe had a different view than I did and certainly lived in a different time. But I believe as I read my Bible, as I read the entirety of my Bible, that God forgives. That God forgives the Israelites even when they wander many, many times. Not just individually, as we'll see, I think, next week or the week after with the story of David. But certainly many, many times as the people of God wander astray and allow injustice to run rampant. God forgives us. We can see why Jesus came, right? The message is difficult. That God calls us to forgiveness, that God seeks righteousness, God seeks justice. But God is also on behalf of all people. God seeks justice among all people. God seeks goodness among all people, not just the people that feel like they're on the inside, that feel like they're on the right side, that feel like they are the holiest of the holy. But God is with all of us. All of us sinners and saints. And so let us pray this morning for the Vikings and for the Cardinals and for the people of Israel and for the Canaanites too, for the good guys and the bad guys, that God's love and peace and forgiveness might find all of us, might comfort and might call us to repentance, that God's love might reshape and remake all of us. And out of enemies, God may make new friends. God may lift up celebrations of music with people that within our own, some of our own lifetimes were our enemies, that we might rejoice together in this moment. That is our prayer, and that is God's promise. And we pray that God may help us remember that this morning too. Amen.
together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the Church, the world, and all people in need. Almighty God, holy and righteous, cut our hearts open by your living word. Break down our pride and self-assurance, and transform us by your gentle mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless workers who clear fields to prepare for the barren season to come. Bring the harvest of your creation to completion, even as we look forward to the blossoming of new life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Exercise and establish true justice in courtrooms, in prisons, and in neighborhoods. Guide those who manage great wealth to do so with generosity and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pour out favor this day upon those who are afflicted and feel far removed from you. Send them companions who will show them you are ever near. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Build up relationships among people of different beliefs and backgrounds. Use the cooperation between this congregation and others in our community to reveal your goodness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we continue to offer our prayers for our community and our world this morning. We especially remember in prayer the family of Wilma Hines as they prepare to mourn her passing. We also continue to pray for all those in our congregation who are suffering in body or mind or spirit. We also offer our prayers this morning all those suffering from natural disasters in our own country and around the world, that you might be working through all those bringing care and comfort and healing in those places, and with all those who are suffering. And now we lift up all those other prayers that are on our hearts this morning, O God, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence.
Gary.
Cheryl.
Gather us with all the saints whom you have made righteous in the death and resurrection of Christ. Through him, give us all the gifts of your kingdom and life eternal. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please show a sign of that peace with one another. Thank you. God of bread, of our bread of life, our table and our food. You created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Speak to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, and make us one with you. All are welcome. Please come. Communion this morning is by intinction. You will receive the bread, and then you can dip it into the wine, and gluten-free wafers are available if you need them. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able. Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and our witness, that we might speak the living voice of healing and justice to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, raising the dead. Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.